So Luke chapter 2, verse number 8 says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests.' And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds also said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told of them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you that the next few minutes of time, as we look into your word, that the word is going to work. The word is going to speak to us. The word is going to transform us. So I pray that today you will do what only you can do. Father, anoint me above my own ability to speak the words of God alone. Anoint our ears, our hearts, and our mind to hear and receive and respond to what the Holy Spirit would say to us. And we'll give you thanks and praise for it. And all the people in the house said, today I want to talk to you really quickly about what does Christmas mean. If I were to come around the room today and ask you in 20 seconds or less to tell me what was your favorite Christmas or the most meaningful Christmas of your life, and for you to share that in 30 seconds or less, how many think you could do that? Think you could tell your most memorable Christmas, right? Within 20 seconds or less. Perhaps it's when you, perhaps it's the first Christmas you had children. Perhaps it's the first Christmas that you know, as a child, you got that bicycle you wanted or you got the car you wanted. The first Christmas you were married. The first Christmas your kids were old enough to ask what they wanted themselves for Christmas. I'm kind of reeling in the fact that so far our kids aren't really articulate enough to say exactly what they want for Christmas, so I cannot mess up. That's awesome, right? But I know that day's going to change. At some point that's going to change. Is that true? That's what the rumor is, that someday that's going to change. They are going to be able to say, "Yeah, Dad, you got it," or "No, Dad, you missed it." Here's the thing. I've discovered that most of us define the Christmases of our past by one of two things. Either, number one, what we received. We can look back and, well, you know, this Christmas I got this or I got that. Or we define the Christmases of our past by what we experienced. It was our first Christmas with someone or without someone, first Christmas in this place or that place. We all define Christmases by one of those two things. And the angels showed up at the first Christmas and redefined everything forever. And I just bring that up this morning because I know that if you walk around town, if you go to Walmart, God bless you if you go to Walmart. If you go there, you're going to run into people. You're going to hear a lot of definitions about what Christmas really means. It's about love. It's about giving. It's about family. It's about being home for the holidays or getting away or getting off work or going to this place. There's all these hundreds of definitions of what Christmas really is about. But I want to just challenge us this morning to relook fresh and anew at the message of Christmas. This series we're in is called Let Earth Receive Her King. And this Christmas series, I'm just challenging us as a church family to really make sure that when December 25th goes away, when you're out there a few days later, whether that be January the 1st or July the 1st, taking down your Christmas lights, that when you're done with that, that you're not thinking, wow, that came and left, and I'm not really sure if I had the intimacy with the Lord that I know he provided. So this morning, I want to talk to you real quickly about how we can define and make sure we're defining Christmas the right way. So if you're ready to redefine Christmas the right way, say this with me. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, here we go. So what does Christmas mean? A few things I want to tell about Christmas means this morning from the perspective of these shepherds. First thing I want you to know this morning is that Christmas is for everyone. Amen? Say this with me. Christmas is for everyone. Verse number 10 says, the angel appeared to them and he says, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Now that word all is very small, but it encompasses something really, 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 really big. It means it is for everyone. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 16 or 13 says this, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Christmas celebrates that every one of us, how many of all of us at one point or another were far from God? Right? You can be in church and be far from God. Amen? You can be in the altar, but be far from God. You can be in the Word, reading it every day, and still be far from God if you're really not letting the Word of God internalize and change you and transform you. All of us, the Bible says, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. And perhaps that's why he appeared to some shepherds, because they knew what it was like to pursue someone that was lost. Jesus came to us because we were the lost sheep. We were the ones that were missing. We were the ones that were in need of a Savior. But he came looking for you and me. And he said, my salvation is for everyone. And Christmas reminds us this morning, every person you meet on the street is someone Jesus came for. Amen? Christmas is for everyone. And perhaps the reason that Jesus caused these angels to announce his birth to these shepherds was because what a better way to prove that Christmas is for everybody than for angels to appear to a bunch of nobodies. Amen? How many of there really is no such thing as a nobody in the eyes of God? Everybody is someone Jesus came for. Everyone is somebody that Jesus lived for. And I know that this time of season, there's an old hymn that gets sung a lot in the marketplace and the grocery stores. There's this old hymn of the church that says, he sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So, yeah, you grew up in the same church I grew up in. Right, okay. And the message of that song is that everything we receive in Christmas time is based upon what we did. What we did right, what we did wrong. Based on, that's really defines on what you're going to receive this Christmas. But actually the angels showed up and said, no. What you're about to receive is not based upon what you've done. It's about on what he is going to do for you. Amen. And Christmas is for everyone because it's not about what you've done right or what I've done wrong. It's about what Jesus did right for all time, for all occasions. So I want to make sure when we go out of this place this morning, we are remembering that Christmas is for everyone. That's what Luke chapter 2, verse 14 says. It is glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. You know, one of the greatest things about Christmas being for everyone is Christmas means that every one of us can be pleasing to God. Did you know that? There's too many people that you work with and go to school with that think God is this big judge up in heaven with a lightning bolt, like some kind of character out of a comic strip. And he is waiting for you to mess up so he can zap you with his judgment and annihilate you and just destroy your life completely. But that is not at all. The Bible says, glory to God in the highest and to those whom his favor rests are those who are pleasing him. And here's the great thing about Christmas is Christmas is for everyone because Christmas means that all of us through the life and death of Jesus can be pleasing to God. Secondly, this morning, Christmas is not just for all of us and for everyone. Christmas is for seeking him. Luke chapter 2, verse number 15 says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go and see this thing which has happened that the Lord has told us about. You know, I know Christmas is one of the busiest times of year, isn't it? Man, I mean, just Trying to get into the store is crazy. Trying to get down the road is crazy. Trying to get every place you're supposed to go is crazy. I know some of you play Christmas ping pong. You bounce from this side of the state to that side of the state, trying to please everybody and trying to see everybody. And it can be so crazy. But sometimes I wonder, is the busyness of the season robbing us from the most important thing? You know, there was this TV show that came out. And I'm going to show my age, but it's because it's been out a long time. But there's this TV show that came out where the family was trying to go on a vacation for Christmas. And they all get on the airplane. And the plane is about to take off. And the mom feels like she's left something. And right when the plane is like taking off in the air, she yells this name. And the name she yells is Kevin, right? So they've gotten everything together, but they forgot the kid. And most of us would say, well, I'm such a good parent. I would never forget my kid. But, you know, Christmas, if we're not careful, you really can be taking down the lights, whatever month you do that in. You really can be taking down the lights of your house and taking down the tree and ask yourself, did I really spend the season seeking him? And these shepherds give us three examples on how to seek the Savior. I'll give them to you real quickly. Number one, they sought the Savior with priority. They left what was the important thing, right? Keeping sheep, that was pretty important. They left the important thing to grab a hold of the most important thing. They left the good thing to take care of the great things. The Bible says they made haste. They didn't put it on their schedule. They said that we are going to seek the Savior now. You know, Jeremiah has this promise for each of us. He says that when you seek me, you will find me. When you search for me with all of your heart. Christmas reminds us that we are in a favored time of year. Secondly, they didn't just seek him with priority. They sought him with faith. The angel said, you're going to find a baby lying in a manger wrapped in cloth. And they didn't just make it a priority to go seek him, but they went ahead and began to seek him and believe that it's going to be exactly what God said. You know, growing up, I'm not sure how many of you are like this, but my parents kind of used Christmas as a scapegoat the whole year long. Like every time we went to the store, I would say, you know, Mom, I would love to have that transformer. I'd love to have that bicycle. I'd love to have... And every time I said something like that, she would say something like this. Well, you should ask for it for Christmas. Right? And so it'd be, you know, February. And, you know, and she would say, well, you know, ask for it for Christmas. And so when December came around, December was pretty exciting because everything that I knew was really not a possibility, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, and November, all these things that were not on the table at all year long, all of a sudden, I knew when I asked something, there is a new realm of possibility to what I was asking. Right? Can I tell you, we should look at Christmas the same way. The angel said, listen, you are entering a new season. You're entering a season where God's favor is upon you. And when you come before the Lord, you are not waiting for some other season for God to do something in your life. This is a season of God's favor. And I'm just here to tell you today, we need to seek the Lord this morning, understanding we are seeking him and a time of his favor is upon you, fresh and new this morning. Every time we celebrate the Christ child, we are celebrating that God loves us and he has the best for our lives this morning. Amen. So we should seek him with priority, but we should seek him with faith because we are living in a great time and we should seek him. The shepherds did this. They sought him with others. They didn't just go seeking him by themselves. They went together. And I tell you what, you may not know this, but you are a gift to this church family. Did you know that? Oh, Pastor, you know, I'm just here every once in a while. No. You're seeking the Lord encourages the rest of us as we seek the Lord. Amen? And you don't know how when you choose to be in the house of the Lord this season, how you choosing to seek him actually encourages others around you to seek the Lord. And they sought the Lord together. And I would challenge you this season, one of the real meanings of Christmas is to seek the Lord and seek Him with others. Thirdly, this morning, Christmas is for sharing Him. Verse number 17 says, so when they saw Him, they spread the word about what had been told to them about this child. You know, the natural response when you discover something good is to tell someone about the good you've discovered. It's a proven statistic that if you have a good experience at a restaurant, that you will leave that restaurant and you will tell three other people about the good experience you had at that restaurant. The same study shows if you had a bad experience, you'll tell seven people about the bad experience you had. What does that say about us? It says that we like to tell bad news more than we like to tell good news, I guess. I don't know. But there is a natural response in each of us that when we discover something good, that the natural response is for us to share it. And here's sort of a self-test this morning. Am I really receiving Christ as King this season? If I'm receiving Christ as King this season, there should be a natural outflow of me sharing what I'm receiving. These shepherds received this great announcement about good news. They discovered the good news was true, and then they began to share it with others that they saw. You know, there's a rumor going around. I'm going to take a survey. How many of you like fruitcake? That's exactly one person. Really? Awesome. Two people? It's But yet, if you go to the store, it's everywhere for sale, isn't it? Right? There's a rumor that there's actually only 5 fruitcakes in the whole world. And people just keep on re-giving them. Nobody likes them, so, you know, you give them to me, and so I'll turn around, I'll give it to you. And because no one likes them, they just re-gift it. How many of you say, Pastor, I confess, I have re-gifted something in my life? All right, no shame in your game. All right, no problem. Well, can I tell you what Christ does for us? We're actually called to re-gift that. We are called to take what He has given us and give it to someone else. Matter of fact, part of the way that you testify to the value of what God has done for you is you re-gift it to someone else. And I know some of you say, well, Pastor, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to share with someone else what God has put in me. I don't know how to share my testimony. I don't know all the ins and outs. Well, listen, these shepherds, they didn't have a doctorate in theology or anything, but yet God chose them to spread the good news of who Jesus was. And friends, God's calling you and I to do the same thing. Amen. Amen? Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap because that's the truth today. Christmas is for sharing. And, you know, I don't know all the ins and outs of why this is, but history testifies to us that shepherds weren't necessarily the most glorious or most respected people. If you think about King David before he was king, he was a shepherd. And he wasn't even invited to come to the dinner when Samuel came to the house to anoint a new king. And that's how unwell thought of shepherds were. They weren't even invited. Matter of fact, scholars tell us that in those days that shepherds were not even allowed to testify in court. If a shepherd saw something, he could not come to court and be your defendant or your witness. Their testimony was not valid. And yet it was those whose testimony was not valid that God said, I want to be my witnesses. I'm just here to tell you this morning, God is still using unqualified people to be His witnesses on this earth. Amen? Amen? And you may be sitting here this morning and say, Pastor, I don't feel qualified to tell someone about God. I don't feel qualified to share my faith or tell someone about Jesus. Friends, can I tell you, people don't know. They don't care if you don't know the whole Bible. What they want to know is who were you before Christ and who are you now? And if God has transformed your life, then you've got a story to tell this morning. Amen? We were this morning before service. Tony was in here playing his guitar. He didn't know I was stalking him. But he was in here playing his guitar this morning. And if I remember, where are you? So I can make sure I'm not lying about you. Okay. Were you playing Amazing Grace? Yeah, he was on his guitar this morning playing Amazing Grace. Do you know why he was singing that song this morning? He was singing a song, here we are, hundreds of years later, because John Newton, a slave trader who had his life changed, simply penned these words, "I once was lost, but now I'm found." Amen? Friends, Christmas is a season for sharing the good news of Jesus, and you don't have to know this book. Now, I'm not giving you a pass to never read your Bible and not study or anything like that. But friends, all people need to know is that this, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was hopeless, but now I have hope. I once had no direction, but now I have direction. Amen? That's all people are looking for. Amen? Matter of fact, let me just mess you up real quickly. And some of you are going to, you're gonna disagree with this, and you're going to send me emails, and I'm going to delete them, and it's just going to, you know. People don't need your 20-minute testimony. You go home this afternoon and watch television before you fall asleep watching, you're probably going to hear a commercial. And they're not going to give you a 4-minute commercial on why you should buy Dove. They're going to tell it to you in 30 seconds. And their 30 seconds is going to influence someone to go buy Dove. How do I know that? Because they wouldn't be paying the millions of dollars for that 30 seconds if it didn't work. I think we as the Church of Jesus Christ would be more effective at sharing our testimony if we learn how to do it in 30 seconds or less. Because I don't know about you, now you're about to figure out how shallow I am. But when people start telling me stories more than 30 seconds long, okay, never mind. What I'm saying is, I said this in men's prayer this morning. There are so many people around your life and around my life who are one conversation away from discovering Jesus Christ and his love for them, and the life-changing power he has for them. And that 30-second conversation that they're needing is going to come from you, and it's going to come from me. Amen? Amen? So let's spend this season doing what these shepherds did. Christmas is for everyone. But it's also for sharing with everyone. And some of us, all of us, need to be involved in the process of sharing. It's, you know, it's been mentioned that 80% of people would respond positively to invitation to church if someone would just invite them in the context of a relationship. This season we're in today is a season where more people are open to an invitation or a conversation about Christ than ever before, simply because of the season we're in. That's one reason we're having two services on Christmas Eve. Listen, the people you work with that don't know Jesus, they are more open to an invitation to the house of God on that day than any other day of the year. Listen, we need to understand this season is about sharing Jesus. If we celebrate everything about Jesus but don't share Jesus, I'm not really sure we've celebrated him this season. Amen? So let's celebrate who he is by sharing who he is with someone else. And fourth, Christmas is a season for discovering him. Which, by the way, one of the best ways to discover more about Jesus is to share him with someone else. It's amazing how much we discover more of his grace as we share more of his grace with someone else. The Bible says that they returned glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen was just as they'd been told. They discovered Christ in a new way that season. Megan had just walked in at the worst time because now I'm about to talk about her. But, you know, she gets displeased with me sometimes because she says, I won't try new things. But, I mean, I'm preaching in a Christmas sweater. Right? But she has this creamer at our house. And it's sugar cookie creamer. Now, I love coffee and I love sugar cookies, but I don't want my coffee to taste like sugar cookies. I would like to have both. I would like to have the coffee and the cookie, but I don't, you know, I don't want them together. as one item. And she keeps telling me, just try it and you will like it. And I keep saying, no. And so I have not discovered what she says is awesome, and nor will I plan on discovering what she says is awesome. What I'm saying is these shepherds discovered something that was incredible, but the only way they discovered something that was incredible was by doing something they hadn't done before. They decided to leave what was comfortable and what was familiar and to follow the word of God into something unfamiliar, something that was new to them, something that had only been told to them by the word of God. And this Christmas season, you know, the old people say it like this. If you always do what you've always done, you're going to always get what you always got. The same is true for us this Christmas season. If we just always do what we've always done, we're just going to keep on getting what we've always got. But these shepherds, they heard the word of God and they said, let's try that. Let's go see this thing the angels has spoken to us about. And I would just challenge us this morning, if we want to discover more of God this season, let's step out, let's share a word with someone who's away from God. Let's love on someone who perhaps isn't normally on our radar. Let's do whatever the word says for us to do this season, not just in blind obedience, but in faith that when I do what God tells me to do, I'm going to experience Him in a way I've never experienced Him before. Man, I just believe that this season you can experience Christ like you've never experienced Him before, if you will simply listen to the word of God and obey it. And fifth, this morning, Christmas is for worshiping Him. Meg, if you want to come, the Bible says the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard in the scene, which was just as they had been told. Max Lucado has a quote that I've wrote down years ago. Here's what he says. When you recognize God as creator, you'll admire Him. When you recognize His wisdom, you'll learn from Him. When you discover His strength, you'll rely on Him. But it's only when He saves you that you really worship Him. How many know that worship is more than the first 20 minutes of a service? Amen? You know, the Word says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all unto the Lord. That's worship. It's us just laying our life before Him and say, Lord, all this is for You. That's worship. The shepherds left the manger glorifying God. And my favorite scripture in all of the Christmas story is right here. They left glorifying God because everything they saw was just as it had been told to them. I love that scripture because I can worship God even when I see isn't what I was told, because I know eventually what I do see will be what God said, because He's always going to fulfill His word in my life. Amen? Amen? They saw a baby. That's what they saw. But they believed He was the Messiah. They didn't leave because they saw, praising God because they saw a baby. They left there praising and worshiping God because they knew this baby they had seen was the Lamb of God. He was the Messiah. He was the one that would change and could change and had changed everything. See, we don't worship God for what we see in front of us alone. We worship God for what He promised is coming.